Monitor now invites you to Meet the Press, America's press conference of the air, winner of every major award in its field. Today's guest on Meet the Press will be Governor George C. Wallace of Alabama, a storm center in the fight against racial segregation in the South. We will bring you today's program in a moment.
That is the sound of Radio Switzerland. This is Chet Huntley. Just as our NBC chimes signify the NBC radio network throughout the world, so do foreign radio stations have their identifying trademarks. Here is Radio Cairo. These are familiar sounds here at NBC's news headquarters in New York, where we stand by, ready to receive direct reports from our correspondents stationed in key areas of the world. Often, within minutes of an important news break, a skilled reporter can be on the scene, speeding details to NBC in New York for nationwide broadcast. And you hear the news with all the impact of immediacy, every hour on the hour, 17 times a day. News happens fast, and America hears it fast and accurately on NBC.
Here's a wonderful opportunity for young men and women who are concerned about America's future and their own future as well. If you're a college graduate, man or woman, get as much information as possible about the United States Air Force Officer Training Program. Your local Air Force recruiter will be happy to give you full information on the many opportunities available in the Officer Training Program. Visit or telephone your Air Force recruiter now. There's a place for tomorrow's leaders on the aerospace team, the United States Air Force. And now, Meet the Press. Today's guest, Governor George C. Wallace of Alabama. Our panel consists of Lawrence E. Spivak, producer of Meet the Press, Anthony Lewis of the New York Times, Vermont Royster of the Wall Street Journal, and Frank McGee of NBC News. Ned Brooks is our moderator.
Our guest today on Meet the Press is Governor George C. Wallace of Alabama. His state is the only one in the country today whose schools are completely segregated. Next week, the issue heads for a climax when two Negro students will seek to enroll at the University of Alabama. Governor Wallace has been quoted as saying that he will personally bar their entrance despite a federal court order and a threat of federal troops. Governor Wallace, who is now serving his first term, was elected by the largest vote his state has ever given to a gubernatorial candidate. We'll start the questions now with Lawrence E. Spivak, permanent member of the Meet the Press panel.
Governor, there have been a great many newspaper reports of what you will and what you will not do to bar the two Negro students from entering the University of Alabama. Will you tell us exactly what you will and will not do, and tell us in your own words?
Well, Mr. Spivak, of course, I have stated many times that the action that I'm going to take in Tuscaloosa on June the 10th is for the purpose of testing and raising constitutional questions involving the sovereign of the state of Alabama and the central government and the federal courts. I'm going to take no action that would not be in keeping with the dignity and integrity of the people of Alabama.
Well, what exactly will you do? You said at one time, I believe, or at least were quoted as saying, that you would stand at the door and bar them. Now, two marshals, probably, or more, will come with these students. Will you prohibit them from crossing the door?
Well, of course, I shall stand at the door, as I stated in my campaign for governor. But, of course, as the governor of the state, embodying the sovereignty of the state, it will not be as an individual standing in the door, but as the people of Alabama. And in my judgment, we can raise some constitutional questions that can then be adjudicated by the courts.
Well, Governor, once you've kept those students from registering and the marshals leave with them, the only thing the president has left to do is to send the boys back again, as he did in, boy and girl back again, as he did in Mississippi, with troops. Are you going to stop the troops from bringing those
people
boys in?
Well, of course, no one can stop troops from doing anything, as you know. And, of course, I do not know what the president will do. But I feel that when this question is raised, that it should be adjudicated in the courts. I will make this statement, Mr. Spivak, that absolute law and order will prevail at the University of Alabama as it has prevailed in Birmingham, because we in Alabama are not going to tolerate any action such as mob action. In fact, the people of Alabama are not so inclined.
Governor, in your judgment, can these two students be enrolled without the use of troops in Alabama?
Well, let me say this, that everything that happens at the University of Alabama is going to be peaceful and serene. We are not going to have any violence at all. And, of course, it remains to be seen as to what action will be taken by the Justice Department of the central government at that time.
Governor, the question I asked, however, was, can these students be enrolled at the University of Alabama without the use of troops?
Well, that remains to be seen. We do not want troops at the University of Alabama nor in the state, because domestic tranquility will prevail and there will be no need for troops.
Well, does that mean that the students will or will not be enrolled, Governor?
Well, I'm not sure about that. We may win our case in the court when I raise these constitutional questions that I intend to raise involving the governor of Alabama.
But I'm talking about June 10th, when they're coming to be enrolled.
Well,
can they be enrolled without the use of troops?
Well, of course, we'll just have to wait and see exactly what transpires on that occasion. I will say we're going to keep law and order.
Governor, you speak a good deal about law and order and about constitutional rights. You were served, I believe, a subpoena on your way to New York today. At least the press reports that.
Well, I don't know.
Are you going to appear tomorrow at court?
I don't know that I have received any action that I consider legal service in any court matter pending, but I will be represented specially tomorrow by attorneys in the court. There's no necessity for my being physically present anyway.
We'll continue the questions now with Mr. Lewis.
Governor, you've just said several times that you want to get these constitutional questions adjudicated in the courts. As a lawyer and a former judge, you must know that the question of the supremacy of the federal constitution has been in the courts and been adjudicated dozens of times since this country was founded, and the supremacy of the constitution has always prevailed, most recently in Little Rock, Arkansas, and Oxford, Mississippi. In light of that, what is your real purpose in what you're doing? Are you there as a political gesture to try to arouse violence, or what is your purpose?
Well, Mr. Lewis, in the first place, let me tell you that I'm not there to arouse violence, because my attitude and the action that I took in the Birmingham matter indicates that I am against violence, and I am against violence in a matter of this sort. Plessy versus Ferguson, many years ago, was decided in favor of separate but equal facility doctrine. But constant efforts by those who oppose this interpretation resulted in the Brown case. So I see no reason why we, who on the Plessy versus Ferguson side, that is separate but equal facility doctrine, should not continue to raise questions, and the court itself might decide to change its mind as it did in the Brown case.
What exactly is the constitutional proposition that you are going to make?
The constitutional question involves the state of Alabama. And of course, Article 3 in Section 2 says that any dispute between the states and the central government shall be adjudicated by the entire Supreme Court. Now, we are raising the basic inherent question, can the state of Alabama run its school system as it has always run, or shall the federal courts and the Justice Department and the central government run the schools of Alabama, over which we say they had no control under the law until 1954?
Does that come down to this, that in your view, if you prevailed, we would not have one constitution interpreted by one Supreme Court for all 50 states, but that each state would have the right in the area of schools or some other area when that came along to interpret the constitution as it saw fit and apply its own rule in that state?
No, that's not the case at all. We are just raising the constitutional question for the courts, the federal court system of the land, and they may change and rule in our favor. They did rule in our favor in the South for many years and then changed in 1954. Why should not we continue? In fact, in the Savannah case the other day in Georgia, a federal court ruled for the first time since 1954 that it is harmful to Negro and white children to integrate them into the school system.
That decision was reversed the next day, I think.
That's
by
right,
the Court of Appeals for the Fifth
by
Circuit.
By the Court of Appeals, but it hasn't gone yet to the Supreme Court. And the next case that we raise, they may rule in our favor.
Mr. Royster.
Governor, so far we have touched on the legal questions involved here, the question of states' rights. I know of no rights that do not have their concomitant responsibilities. Do you think that the state of Alabama, or any government for that matter, is acting responsibly when it arbitrarily denies to a third of its citizens the right to vote or the right to use public facilities such as a university, which the taxes of all the citizens have provided? Is this a responsible government in your view?
Well, of course, if we precluded the use of public facilities by one-third of our population, that would be true. If we precluded one-third of our citizens from voting, that would be true. But Negroes vote all over Alabama in great numbers. Public facilities are not precluded to their use. In fact, we have some of the finest public institutions for education for the colored race in Alabama that exist in the country. In fact, Tuskegee Institute is in that state, and we give them over $500,000 a year. And
now, Governor, in Alabama, the state and its political subdivisions use public funds to build highways and streets. You don't deny the Negroes to right to walk these streets. You don't have separate streets for white people, separate streets for Negroes. Now, how do you distinguish between treating them equally on the sidewalk, but not equally on the public walk of a garden or in the public corridor of the University of Alabama?
Well,
what is the distinction here?
We feel that it is in the best interest of white and colored to have separate school facilities. And the Supreme Court of the United States so recognized for many years.
Well, now you
and,
have...
And we do provide facilities for education. In fact, the school teachers of Alabama, the Negro teachers, average more pay in Alabama than whites.
Well, I'm trying to get at this distinction now. Now, in Alabama, you have all the usual taxes, all the states levy.
That's right.
Specifically, a 3% sales tax. Now, do you discriminate in this tax? In other words, when a Negro walks into a store to buy something, do you raise a color bar and sell and deny him the right to pay his taxes in order to help support the University of Alabama?
No,
do you
sir.
Discriminate?
No, sir.
Here?
We do not do that, and we do not discriminate in providing funds for Negro education. We do not discriminate in providing funds for old age pensions and treatment in mental institutions and the Berkeley institutions. In fact, the colored race in Alabama gets its fair share of the tax.
In other words, you think it is responsible government to deny the University of Alabama to one-third of your citizens. That's what it comes down to.
I feel that the state
you
of
think it's responsible
oh,
government?
Oh, yes, I think it's responsible government for Alabama to be able to provide separate but equal school facilities for its citizens.
Mr. McGee.
Governor Wallace, isn't it possible that this constitutional question you speak of could be raised without your physically standing in the schoolhouse door? And is it possible that you're hoping to have yourself arrested?
No, I'm not hoping to have myself arrested at all. But I made a commitment in the campaign for governor that I would do this. And I feel that this is a good way. In
could
a dramatic
be,
way.
Could it be done any other way, sir?
Well, it may be done in some other ways. I'm not sure about that.
Could it
but
be
I think
done,
it's
sir,
a dramatic way to impress upon the American people this omnipotent march of centralized government that's going to destroy the rights and freedom and liberty of the people of this country if it continues. And we in Alabama intend to resist this centralized control where they now tell us who you can eat with and who you can sit down with and swim with, who you can sell your house to, and this is the great constitutional principle on which we stand in Alabama.
Sir, if it comes to it and you are told by some representative of the federal government that you are under arrest, will you accept this and go peacefully?
Of course, if I'm ever arrested by the federal government, I'll go peacefully. There has never been any intention to resist and to fight the federal forces with force. That's the people of this country have been victimized by the press. I have never made any statement that indicated at all that I intended to fight with bottles and rocks and guns. I am against that as much as you or anyone else.
Sir, have you in any way, through issuing public statements or in press conferences, let the people of Alabama know that you do not want them present in Tuscaloosa that day, that you would like them to stay at home?
During the campaign for governor of Alabama, I said I'm not talking about violence. I'm against violence. I made a speech the other day. I made several statements in which I have asked the people to stay away from the university campus. I do not want them there. I am going to stand for them because I represent them. I do not want anyone present at the University of Alabama campus except authorized persons, and that will be the case. We're not going to have any violence at the University of Alabama on June 10th.
If it should happen, Governor Wallace, that between now and June 10th, there should be a preponderance of mail from the people of Alabama to you saying either one of two things, that they disagree with your stand, or absolve you from the commitment that you made during your campaign. Would you be willing to abide by their
wishes?
Well,
listen, I've already got a preponderance of mail that that stands with my stand, and the legislature of the state has already passed a resolution unanimously in which they say they stand with Governor Wallace of Alabama. And I shall do that which I said I would do, but let me again say, there's not going to be any violence. The first man that throws a rock, a brick, a bottle, will find himself arrested, regardless of who he or she happens to be.
You and Mississippi Governor Ross Barnett are very close, Governor
That's
Wallace.
Correct.
I think you're going to attend a fundraising dinner June 17th for a new states' rights party. Let me ask you frankly if you have any hope of being that party's candidate for president.
Well, Frank, of course, I have no illusions about a Southerner. You know, there's a lot of prejudice and bias against
us
Southerners.
As a means of political leverage, Governor Wallace.
Let me say this, that we are not talking about any third party. We're talking about independent electors within the existing Alabama and Mississippi Democratic parties, and there's a great difference.
Mr. Spivak.
Governor, you've been pretty forthright in many of your statements. I wonder why you won't answer my question about whether or not those two students can be enrolled without the use of troops.
Well, of course, these happenings are new to the American people, the business of forcing people into universities where the people do not want them to attend and wish that they would attend a separate but equal facility school. And I'm not sure what's going to happen other than I intend to stand and raise these constitutional questions, and I intend to keep peace and tranquility.
Well, now, you keep peace and order. You're not going to use force against them.
No, sir.
How then can you keep them from being registered? And will you keep peace and order after they are registered?
We're going to keep peace and order at all times in Alabama because we know that's in the best interest of all the people of our state, whether they be white or black.
Well, if I interpret you rightly then, that after you have made your stand and raised the legal questions, these students are going to be admitted, and there will not be the same situation as prevailed in Mississippi. There will be no rioting. Your own police are going to take care of the matter. Is that correct?
Let me say this, that we're going to have peace, if that's what you mean. But for me to know exactly what's going to happen at the University of Alabama when this is something that we haven't had to happen but one time, I'm not exactly sure, other than what I'm going to do.
In short, you're not sure that if the admission is forced, that you can keep peace and order, and you're not sure that the Army is going to be needed.
I'm not sure about whether they will bring the Army in. I'm sure that we will keep peace. I'm not sure what the Kennedys will do. I do know that they sent troops to Alabama when 69 people were hurt in 45 days of rioting, and 485 people were hurt in Washington in the twinkling of an eye at one football game, but no troops were sent. I do know that troops were not sent to Illinois the other day when 5,000 stoned the policeman, and I do know they haven't sent troops to North Carolina or to Florida, but it's not good politics to send them to Florida and to Michigan and to Illinois. It's good politics, though, to send them to a deep southern state.
Governor, isn't it true that the trustees of the university have agreed to admit this boy and this girl? Why are you so adamant?
They agreed to admit under compulsion and under force, and they were under an injunction, and of course the federal courts would not hesitate to jail a lesser official, and I don't feel that maybe it was their responsibility to subject themselves to severe penalties and to severe fines, but I do know they do not want them admitted to the University of Alabama, but were forced to by the court order.
Mr. Lewis.
Governor, you said just now that Negroes vote all over Alabama, and yet just a few years ago, some graduates of Tuskegee Institute, which you just mentioned in a praiseworthy way, a great many graduates were refused permission to vote on account of the color of their skin, and it was only when a federal judge said that they must be admitted to vote that they were. Do you really think that people can vote regardless of color in Alabama without the help of the federal courts?
Oh, they certainly can. They register every day without the help of the federal courts. We don't have any utopia in Alabama, neither do you have it here in New York City, where you can't even walk in Central Park here at night without fear of being raped or mugged or shot. And, you know, this program was held here in New York, and I think it was better to hold it here in New York for many reasons. So we don't have any utopia. But people do vote, and I will say that we've had violations of the law all over the country, but Negroes do vote in Alabama all over the state.
Another thing you said just now, in the same sort of connection, is the provision of separate but equal facilities by Alabama. Now, isn't it a fact that through most of this century, after the Supreme Court decision of which you spoke, the facilities in Alabama and in all other southern states were vastly unequal, that in fact the average expenditure for Negro schools was about a half or a third that for white schools, and that it was only when the threat of integrated schools appeared, when the Supreme Court was plainly heading in that direction, that you changed?
That's not the case. We didn't have the right kind of school system for white or colored, for the simple reason that we had been discriminated against for 100 years with freight rate inequities and Pittsburgh Plus, and all the people of the South were poor. But every new industry that has come to Alabama in the South in the last number of years has come as a result of the efforts of Southerners, including myself. And we have $125 million worth of new industry that's come to Alabama, and every white and black man who gets a job in one of these new industries owes it to his state government. We're working for more jobs for our people in that state.
Mr. Royster.
Governor, I apologize for coming back to this moral question, but I think it's one that troubles a good many people around the country. Now, I believe you are very active in the Baptist Church.
No, so I'm in the Methodist Church, Methodist. But I have no objection to the Baptist Church.
I'm a Baptist. But I assume then that you believe that the Negroes in the South are human beings created by God.
Of course they are. I said so in my campaign address. It wasn't.
Do you think they should be discriminated in a church? That is, they should be go to a separate church, or should they be allowed to come into the white church?
I feel that there's nothing immoral or sinful or irreligious about separate churches and separate school facilities. If this separation is based on what we believe in our hearts to be in the best interest of all concerned.
Now, when you say we, you're talking about
the people of Alabama. That's
correct. When you're talking about the white people of Alabama.
The white people of Alabama.
One-third of your citizens are Negro people.
I believe there are many of these one-third that you're talking about, and I would say a majority that would rather go to church in their churches and school in their schools.
But you think it's right to require them to do so?
Well, I don't know about churches, how they require. There's not any governmental function involved in churches. But I do think that...
Now, why do you think it's moral to require it in the state university?
Because I think it's in the best interest of both races to have separate schools. And I think that that's for obvious reasons. Might I say also, Mr. Royster, that in my inaugural address, the last statement I made was that I pray to God that he will bless all the people of this state, white and black. Of course, that wasn't reported in the press.
Gentlemen, we have about 2 minutes remaining. Mr. McGee.
Governor, you've constantly vowed your defiance of federal courts, which you've called, among other things, irresponsible and lousy. Yet when President Kennedy ordered federal troops into Alabama for possible use in Birmingham, You went into a federal court seeking an order to have them withdrawn.
That's correct.
Now, isn't this inconsistent, or would you only obey
that's not inconsistent, Mr. McGee. Let me say, the court, in addition to the proper use of its judicial function, has improperly set itself up as a third house of Congress, a super legislature, as one of the justices called it, reading into the Constitution words and implications which are not there. We have therefore reached a point as a nation when we must take action to save the Constitution of the court and the court from itself. Our difficulty with the court today rises not from the court as an institution, but from human beings within it. That's Mr. Franklin Roosevelt's statement, 1937, and I concur in it.
Well, do you concur with all federal court orders or just some, Governor?
Oh, I concur with many federal court orders, and
some I do
not.
Do you concur with all of them, Governor, or just some or many?
Oh, I do not agree with many federal court orders.
Do you concur and obey them?
Oh, of course we obey them. And I haven't said that I was going to disobey a federal court order for defiance sake, but for the purpose of testing. Testing. Is the governor of the state of Alabama have the right to test in the courts the validity of this order involving our school system?
Mr. Lewis.
Governor, following what you say, if you are under a final order of that court in Alabama not to interfere with the registration, are you going to obey that order, or are you going to go ahead and interfere anyway?
I'm going to take the action that I told you that I was going to take on June the 10th. That will raise the question involving the governor of Alabama and the federal
court. But why raise it by standing there physically when there's a lawsuit? You're a lawyer. Don't you believe in settling these things through lawsuits?
Because I promised the people of my state I would do that, and I feel that I want to do it, and I'm convicted in that regard, and I shall do so.
Mr. Spivak.
Governor, is there any chance at all of mediating this issue? Would you be willing to meet with the proper authorities for the purpose of coming to some sensible, peaceful solution on this?
Well, it's going to be a peaceful solution. We're not going to have any violence, but I would not meet with anyone for the purpose of agreeing to integration.
Mr. Royster.
Well, Governor, if I understand you rightly, you seem to be advocating a sort of a dead-end position here. That is, that in the state of Alabama, the Negro will not under any circumstances be allowed to enter a white university like the University of Alabama. In this case, Governor, what do you see as the long future of race relations in the state of Alabama?
Gentlemen, I'm afraid that question would involve too much of a scope for the time we have left. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I see that our time is up. Thank you very much, Governor Wallace, for being with us.
Thank you, Ned Brooks. In just a moment, we'll tell you how you can get a copy of this week's Meet the Press interview.
This is Gene Rayburn, one of your hosts on Weekend Monitor. One of Monitor's recent guests was this well-known entertainer.
I don't know how to analyze comedy, and I don't think that comedy really should be analyzed. Something either hits you or it doesn't, and I guess that's about the ultimate result of comedy.
You were right if you recognize the voice of Joey Bishop, just one of the people from show business you meet weekends on Monitor. But Monitor features people from all walks of life. Let Monitor guide you to better listening on NBC Radio.
What causes traffic accidents? Weather conditions, road conditions, vehicle conditions. These all have some part in the total traffic picture. But it's a driver's own condition, both mental and physical, that causes a great many of the accidents. It might be that the driver in an accident was tired, angry, worried, inattentive, or had been drinking. In many cases, the driver didn't know, didn't think, or didn't care about the possibility of having an accident. How can he be made more aware of the danger he is causing to himself and everyone else? The National Safety Council suggests one good way is by an active community campaign against such hazardous attitudes. And that's where your help is important. Your community and your local safety organizations need your active support for enforcement and for education. Accept your responsibility to join the fight for life and help save lives. Now, more details on Meet the Press. Today's guest was Governor George C. Wallace of Alabama. And the panel consisted of Lawrence E. Spivak, producer of Meet the Press, Anthony Lewis of the New York Times, Vermont Royster of the Wall Street Journal, and Frank McGee of NBC News. For a printed copy of today's Meet the Press interview, send 10 cents in coin and a stamped self-addressed envelope to Merkel Press, M-E-R-K-L-E, Merkel Press, 809 Channing Street, Northeast, Washington, D.C. The address again, Merkle Press, M-E-R-K-L-E, 809 Channing Street, Northeast, Washington, D.C. Meet the Press will be heard again next week at this same time. The guest will be the United States Commissioner of Education, Francis Capel. This program was pre-recorded. Toscanini, the man behind the legend, starting this week on NBC Radio.